You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
It's time for Make the Call, a weekly discussion on the top Wisconsin sports stories of the week. You can listen to the show anytime on the free Civic Media app. Download it now on your device's app store or at civicmedia.us/app. Now, it's time for Make the Call, a Civic Media sports production.
It is another Saturday here on the Civic Media Radio Network, and it's an hour for us to talk some sports. I'm Jimmy Cuska, sports director here at Civic Media, and I'm joined this week, as always, by Parker Vertical Olson in Madison. Parker, what's going on, man?
Vertical Olson, I forgot. I'm big now. I've got those hops.
It's very, very much so. The NFL Combine has blessed you with a brand new nickname for the show. And then, of course, we have Gray, upper management Gunderson. Gray. That one's not as smooth, but
I half expected horizontal. I wouldn't have even blamed you.
That'd be rude.
Gray Boardroom Gunderson. I don't know. We're just going to keep workshopping these things on the show today. And that's all we're going to talk about for the next hour. No, actually, we're going to talk some sports today. There's been a lot that's happened this week, and we're going to have a chance to hear from Mike Clemens later in the show. Going to talk about all things sports, but also, of course, about Bob Harlan, of the Packers, who passed away this week. He had an interview he had done with him a few years ago that he brought back in small parts during the week. He's going to bring back a bigger part of that for the end of the show later today. Also going to talk some Badgers with Jake Kokorowski of Badger Observer. The men's basketball team has a big date with Purdue coming up, and of course the Big Ten tournament and the NCAA tournament looming as well in the near future. But as we get started here at 7 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday in our live version of the show, we like to do our top seven sports stories, or not sports stories, at 7 a.m. And number seven in our top seven at seven, this is a little open-ended, but I want to focus in on the NFL offseason and specifically the NFC North, because this week saw a number of fascinating developments within the conference post-scouting combine. And I think most notably, it involved the Chicago Bears and a trade they made in which they pick up, yes, more draft picks. And in this, they deal wide receiver DJ Moore to the Buffalo Bills. Of course, there's other things to talk about in this, but guys, the NFL never really has an offseason, and this week proves it, because there have been a number of big notes in the NFC North.
So the big thing here, Jimmy, of course, is that every loss like this, when you send a DJ Moore elsewhere, there's an automatic built-in band-aid. You don't just lose, you gain. You get cap space, you get some breathing room. So DJ Moore was an upper echelon receiver, skilled enough to make good money and therefore take up a little bit of a chunk of that salary cap. Now, the salary cap just got expanded, but long story short, that's not the only loss the Bears just had. They just released their linebacker, Tremaine Edmonds, and they had their center, Drew Dahlman, retire at 27 years old. Both those players on pretty relatively large contracts. They're upper half contracts for their positions. So now the question becomes, what do the Bears do with that $44 million in cap space? And the answer is based on their needs. Do they try to replace the three guys they lost? Maybe. Those would be great moves to make if you could get three of the same guys, but the replacements are always more expensive than the ones you just lost. It's going to cost them probably $60 million to replace 45 worth of players. So I think they focus on O-line and they help Caleb get a little bit more consistency, because I'll tell you what, if Caleb brought his completion percentage up by just 5%, I think the Bears are almost undefeated last year.
The Bears already had one of the best offensive linemen, though. I mean, they had one of the best offensive lines in the NFL last year. So I'm curious with them and what they're doing, because, you know, as far as the Packers go, you know, you've got competition there. The Bears, making the trade, a part of a series of trades they made with a draft pick a number of years ago. And then you see the Vikings trying to solve their quarterback position for what feels like the 100th year, this time kicking the tires on Kyler Murray. So I feel like the NFC North is going through a little bit of transition this week, right?
That is exactly it, Jimmy. And it's different flavors of transition on every team. The Lions have a little bit more consistency going on. They just traded Montgomery, their running back, to Houston, and they didn't need the extra running back. So that doesn't actually change the face of their team much. Then you go over to Minnesota. Like you said, they're courting Kyler Murray. A bit of a fascinating rumor, because while it is pretty likely to be true, that's actually coming from the Jets, who are looking at Kyler Murray. And their feeling about Kyler is that the opinion around the league is that he's going to be a Viking. That came from the Jets, which is an interesting source. So got to take that one with a grain of salt. Packers, the word is consistency. How do we keep the free agents who we have. There's going to be some we lose, but for the most part, we just want to return to form. And then finally, who have we not talked about? Vikings, Bears. We touched on them all. You know, it's different flavors of competition. I expect four competitive teams next year, and the Vikings are the wild card. Parker, what do you see when you look at the NFC North this week? What do you think we get a season like next week where we're only going to know halfway through who's not going to make the cut? Or do you think we'll have an early idea, much like 2 or 3 years ago?
I kind of think that we're going to see teams just moving around their money, frankly. And that when you do that, that means that you're probably going to end up cutting or moving away some of those bigger contracts, which means that you're probably going to sign some younger guys who are going to give you some lighter contracts, frankly, which, as we've kind of learned, I think in Green Bay, especially these last couple of seasons, you don't 100% know what you're getting when you look at your youth. So I think that you're not going to know a ton. It's not going to be very cut and dry, but I think there's going to be a lot of excitement no matter where you look.
Number 6 in the top 7 at 7. This is just a very simple Badgers basketball prediction. They get to take on Purdue. Another big game for the Badgers trying to build that tournament resume. What do you guys think? Badgers versus Purdue.
I feel like this is a really good opportunity for the Badgers to try to figure out how they can lock in for this March Madness season, because we're officially in March now. We've got Big Ten tournament coming up next week here. I think that they try to lock in here against Purdue, who's another top 15 opponent. If the Badgers can somehow get another one of those headliner victories, that would be absolutely huge for them as they start that push into March, which in the last couple of years, they've been able to do that in the Big Ten Conference tournament. So this could be a really good opportunity for them to get some headway going into there.
If you look at the stats, this looks like a pretty even matchup, especially when you're talking about the rankings involved. I know the Badgers are somewhat unique among unranked teams with the talent that they've got and what they're capable of at their ceiling. But you look at the stats here in the last 10 games, and this looks like two neck and neck teams. And it's kind of a matter of who's having a good day almost, who's got a good idea, who spots a tell on defense. You know, if there's one small advantage, I think it'll tip the scale.
Well, three-point shooting has been what the Badgers have lived and died by, and that's the ultimate wild card. If they can hit their shots, they're fine. They can't hit their shots, not so good. Nolan Winter and his availability, of course, a big question mark as well. We're going to hear more about this with Jake Kokorowski of Badger Observer coming up at the bottom of the hour. Number 5 in the top 7 at 7 is a spring training question, because there are some Brewers having a good spring and some not having such a good spring. And the question is, do you put any weight into what happens during spring training?
It really depends. I think the weight that I put into spring training is the like settling in, just knocking off the rust. That is the, you know, if I'm seeing progression during these couple of weeks, that's what I'm looking for. I'm also looking at stuff like the new ABS system. The Brewers just decided on what their like philosophy is for if they can win to challenge stuff. Look out for a green and a red card getting taped to the railing at the dugout. That's how the Brewers are going to be doing it, to let their guys know if it's a good situation to challenge or not.
It's not going to be a pocket pancake dangling out there. No
pocket pancakes. I'm very sad to say no, but I think it'll be really good to see the Brewers kind of figuring that stuff out. You got some guys doing well, but as long as they're peaking towards the end of spring training, that's what you want, I think.
You know, I think Murph might have loosed something on the world that he didn't intend. I could envision the pocket pancake turning into the name of something completely different. You know, I think he didn't own it enough. I worry that kids are going to co-opt that phrase for something sinister. Who knows what it might be? I put the same amount of stock in spring training that I do in, yes, football analogy, it's coming, preseason games. Do they matter? If they matter, they do. But chances are you're going to see a whole different list of results from the same people when regular season comes and you've got the real competition. For the players that actually build off of it, though, it's huge. I love seeing someone turn a good spring training, a good preseason into a good regular season, but it just isn't the norm. So often you meet real resistance when regular season hits. And so that meteoric rise ends about March 26th or so. Funny how that works.
The only thing I know about these preseason exhibition kind of games is that when Detroit had their very infamous 0-16 season, they went 4-0 in the NFL preseason. That's about the only stock I put into it, when it's more irony than anything. I couldn't tell you who the spring training champion has been in any year in history. So that's where I'm at with that. Number 4 in the top 7 at 7. This is the opposite of spring training. The Badgers women's hockey team is playing for more championships. They play later today against Ohio State in the WCHA final, and I'm sure they will be a strong contender for the NCAA title in the Frozen Four later this spring. So the question is it championship or bust for Badgers women's hockey.
I mean, I really hate saying championship or bust, but frankly, look at this team. You've got four gold medal winners from Team USA, obviously, with the Olympics just passing here. And then you've also got four Badgers who are in the top 10 for the National Player of the Year Award, the Patty Katzmeyer Award. That's, I mean, to have that kind of a roster and not win a championship would be so disappointing. I almost am compelled to say that it would be a bust. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that when you look at the Badgers and their recent success, you would definitely be disappointed if they don't get it. But boy, they've had some good games here as of late. Number three in the top seven at seven. And this is a Stephen A. Smith report. Is Doc Rivers retiring after the season? Do you guys buy that?
I kind of do, but not because it's Stephen A. Smith saying it. I don't want to pile on anybody. Like, it's a rumor that makes sense, but this reminds me of when Mike Florio busts an NFL article. Oftentimes, they're well-sourced, they're well-founded, and there's three people who already put together that story kind of between the three of them, and often Mike is kind of an aggregator of that kind of news. I love Mike Florio. He gives me a lot of football news that I need, and he gives it to me first, but at the same time, when you dig into it, again, there's usually an earlier break from someone else. I think Steven might be doing that kind of thing. He's just reading the room.
I'm getting shades of Rich Bisaccia here, where he's not getting forced out. Like, the Bucks won't fire him, perhaps, but we wouldn't mind if you weren't here anymore. So I kind of think that's kind of the vein here.
Well, we're going to talk about the Bucks here in the next segment, because I feel like the Bucks are in a very tough spot when it comes to coaching, and a retirement would actually help in a way. But there's a lot of things that have to happen in Milwaukee, and what's happening right now with the Bucks is just not good. It is in fact quite bad. And the point being that they are so far out of a spot in the play-in game that they actually have better chances now of keeping their own pick in the lottery, which is just absolutely absurd. So that's where we're at with the Milwaukee Bucks right now. Let's move to number two in our top seven at seven here, and we'll hit number one after the break. But number two is just the sad news this week that the Packers, Bob Harlan, passes away. And I don't know how much experience you guys have had in your careers in going to Packers games or covering the Packers, but Bob Harlan had a very special touch when it came to dealing with press, dealing with the community. I know Mike Clemens is going to have a lot more on this coming up later in the show, but big loss for the Packers community.
Absolutely. And Jimmy, it may not feel like team personnel or front office personnel have much of a spotlight, but they do. And you know that when you are a fan of that team and you find out you're talking to somebody from team personnel, it's like, oh man, it suddenly feels like you're meeting somebody like a celebrity. And they know that. Harlan knew that people viewed him that way. I had a very nice talk with Mike Clemens, our sports reporter here. We'll hear from him later in the show too, but he shared some personal stories. He actually, relative to us, knew Bob better than the average person off the street, let me tell you. And it really stood out to me how comfortable or how willing Bob was to make tough decisions, to throw out what's kind of working in exchange for what could be better. And not only that, he had a really good knack for picking that thing that might be better. He was usually right. It usually was way better. The Packers didn't have a GM before he got there. He shaped the way decisions are made in Green Bay. He, as far as I'm concerned, he poured the foundation for the house that Brett Favre built. And there were others involved in the process, but hey, you need somebody to build a house well, and you need a general contractor to find that builder. That's who Bob Harlan was. He found all the right people.
And can I say, too, that he did that organizationally like that, but also in a literal sense of reinvigorating Lambeau Field, making it what it is today. There's just so much. If you're a Packer fan, frankly, if you're a football fan, I always refer to Lambeau Field as kind of the mecca of football. I think everyone needs to be thankful. If you're a football fan, you got to be thankful for Bob Harlan and what he did for, I think, one of America's greatest franchises.
Pretty sad times right now with Green Bay. Speaking of sad times, Milwaukee Bucks are very bad. And we're going to talk just about how bad they are, what maybe they got to do here in the near future, as the NBA season is about a month away from mercifully being over for the Bucks. We're going to talk about that next in our number one in our top seven at seven here on Make the Call, part of the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back to Make the Call on Civic Media.
It is Make the Call on the Civic Media Radio Network, and we are at number one in our top seven at seven. And our number one topic this week, as it has been for much of the early part of this year, is just how the Milwaukee Bucks have been so bad and trying to find solutions and in ways forward with the team. And I bring it back to number one this week, much to the chagrin of the co-host of the show. This was an executive decision by me on the program to put this at number one. And I put it at number one for two reasons. One, look at the standings. The Bucks are virtually tied right now for 10th with the Chicago Bulls, who hadn't won in something like a month before they beat the Bucks last week. They're so far out of a playoff spot. And I guess a third reason, since I said it's going to be two reasons, a third reason is that this week, it just sounds like things have changed in terms of where Giannis feels like the Bucks are going and where they're heading and where he wants to be. Mike Clemens, who we're going to hear from later in the show, who we've name dropped several times in the program to make ourselves sound cooler, has talked about how the you guys are looking at me like, we're not doing that. I totally do that. Mike's awesome. I love Mike.
He's got more name ID than I do.
That for sure. Yes, we're going to keep dropping Mike Clemens' name until, you know, he just takes us over here. But I know Mike said that there are certainly, it feels like it's almost like what happened to Giannis. Who's replaced Giannis? Who is this Giannis impersonator and the way that things are being dealt with? And I think anytime you just open it up and you look at the standings and see where they're at, yeah, you're frustrated. But you look at how they got there and you look at just some of the baffling losses they've had where they lose to teams that might be missing most of their starting lineup. They've lost games where they've had big leads and see them choked away. You've seen games where they start out shooting 60% and a half and then score like 8 points in the third quarter. It has been incredibly frustrating as a Bucks fan to see just a lack of adjustment and anything resembling a commitment towards getting back to winning ways this year. And I know that the easy solution for everybody is fire the coach, but the Bucks have done this now. They fired several coaches. And that's why if they fired Doc Rivers, they'd now be paying for four head coaches at the same time. And for a team or a franchise like the Bucks, just don't see how that's feasible. So what's the way forward? Do the Bucks try to run it back with all the pieces they've got, the emergence of Ryan Rollins, with the emergence of all the things that they've done this year, or is it time to blow this thing up once and for all and try to build back to something resembling winning after just a really, really rough stretch of injuries the past couple of years? And then obviously the lack of success this year.
I believe in a reset at this point, Jimmy. I've given different answers as we've brought this question up a couple different times throughout the season. And it's kind of funny that Giannis waited until the rumors fell out of the headlines to really start expressing this. It seems like he's like, you know what? They don't think I want to leave anymore. Now I do want to leave. But it's starting to get really confusing what the impression should be when you've got these bad losses, when you're the best losing record team in the conference right now. Like, it almost feels like the team's not being built around the linchpin player. It's not being built around Giannis anymore. And obviously that's what every coach is going to try to do when he's on the roster. But I don't know. I feel like I catch my sound bites from Rivers and it's like, okay, what flavor of blaming the players is it going to be today? Not that he's wrong, but there's no atmosphere of ownership of that. You can tell by the way he says it, I think, that the players aren't taking their own accountability. So he feels the need as the leader. That's just not a good environment. So I'm beginning to wonder, maybe Giannis isn't a rough locker room guy, but that doesn't mean he's easy to work with. You know, is he a tough all-star to build around? That's what I'm beginning to wonder.
That's an interesting take, actually, Gray. I had not really thought of that. And it's just, it's been interesting to me to watch the Bucks like slowly fall off. I don't even know if it's been that slow, though, because you look at, what was it, in 2021, they win the conference or the NBA championship, and then they're in the playoffs, but they lose in conference semifinals the next year. It's like, okay, you're still up there, obviously. Very good season. You go out in the first round, you go out in the first round, you go out in the first round again. That's not great. There is some kind of blockade there. And then you're looking at this year, and it's just horrible.
Yeah, they're not going anywhere this year. But I really look back to like when they lost that series to the Heat, and that being maybe the telling point that we're here at the beginning of the end with the Bucks.
That could very well be. That's just what I'm thinking, Jimmy, is that I want to blow it up and reset, because I think one of the most valuable things for where we're at right now would be an autopsy. And I'm sorry to use that term. I know it's super dark, but like, we need a post-event analysis here so we can see clearly once the rain is gone. And I think that only happens once either the season is actually truly over or once we've decided that it is for us. I don't mean we need to tank, but yeah, I think it's time we start evaluating this as the post event kind of thing. Like, I'm packing it in on the current attempts, I guess. Well, I hate that I am.
Better too that Giannis is, you know, he's exiting his prime. You know, we're talking young 30s, but in the NBA, your prime goes to about your mid 30s. So if there's a championship window for Giannis specifically, well, and he could be a very good player for 8 years. I mean, we've seen it with LeBron. Like he's playing, he's my age, and that's ancient. You know, he's 40, 41 now. So, you know, and I know as a 40, 41 year old, things don't work the same. So my jumper isn't all the way there, you know, so I see what he's doing. And I'm like, hey, you know, Giannis could be very good for another 8 years, right? 8-10 years. But reality is that if you're looking at NBA prime, you know, careers, you know, it's that peak from late 20s to early 30s. And then things after that, you kind of just become who you are. This version of Giannis, the dominant, can do anything, absolutely anything he wants on the court, Giannis, might only exist for another 3 or 4 years. And then after that, he could still be an all-star every year, a perennial all-star, and still somebody you can build around for a couple more years. But we're talking about just in terms of even Giannis, that championship window for him might close in the next 5 or 6 years. So
it's interesting to me to think about that timeline too, because if the Bucks were to keep Giannis for another couple of years, right now we're kind of hearing that Giannis is maybe not as in love with Milwaukee and staying in Milwaukee as he had been forever, frankly. It's possible now that if you keep him for another three, four years and he doesn't get any support around him, he doesn't get another group of guys around him that can make them into a championship caliber team, because that's not what they've got right now. It'll be interesting to see what his kind of emotions are and how he turns and how he starts to view the Bucks if they're not supporting him.
Well, I know this. The Bucks have a big problem in terms of what to do at head coach. And if it's not a retirement, as we talked about earlier, if it's something strictly, you know, just, you know, straight up firing, I mean, can the Bucks handle paying four coaches to the same role? Because they'll have to hire someone, obviously, to take that spot. It's a big loaded question, and that's why we're not paid to do it. There's a general manager and a front office that have to deal with these things for the Bucks. So just hope for better times for the Bucks, because it ain't happening in the next month. The Bucks are out of it. Season's over. Let's look to next year. All right, let's move on the show. I'm going to move and talk about some happier things. The Wisconsin Badgers men's basketball program having a pretty solid season. They have Purdue coming up. We'll talk to Jake Kokorowski, a Badger Observer, about that coming up in our next segment. We'll have Mike Clemens later in the show talking all things sports. You're listening to Make the Call, part of the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back to Make the Call on Civic Media.
It's time now to talk Badgers with Jake Kokorowski of BadgerObserver.com. And it's focusing today specifically on men's basketball, but also a little bit of football, as this is the time in the NFL where there is no true offseason to start looking ahead to the NFL draft coming up here in short order, and talk about some of the performances for the Badgers and their pro day, and of course the scouting combine. But I want to talk hoops first, Jake, and that's because today is it for the regular season. The Badgers take on Purdue, and amazingly, what is now two teams next to each other in the standings. And I think before the Big Ten schedule, if you would have said that, I think people from Wisconsin would have been very happy, and people from Purdue would have been pretty upset, as I think the people, the folks in Purdue expected a lot more out of their season.
Yeah, and it all speaks to how good the Big Ten is, and you're seeing what Michigan's done, Michigan State, Illinois, Nebraska. I mean, I think some people thought Wisconsin would be even a little bit higher, depending upon what happened, you know, and obviously rougher start to the regular season, non-conference play, and then getting blown out by Purdue at the beginning of the year before they've turned things around in really, you know, substantial fashion. But yeah, both teams right now 13 and 6 in the conference. Purdue's 23-7, Wisconsin's 21-9. And, you know, you and I talked about it even before we started, you know, the broadcast, man. You know, you pointed it out, like a couple wins by Wisconsin. Again, you know, maybe they don't, they shoot better, a little bit better against USC at home in January. You're looking at you're looking at potentially you don't lose the game that you did against Oregon. And I'll give the Ohio State loss at Columbus Ohio State's among the top half of the Big Ten. It's a good league. But if you don't lose to a team like Oregon on the road, you're in a different story. And Purdue's kind of chasing you right now. And, you know, credit to my good friend John Steppy at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, who kind of broke down things. And it appears, according to him, Wisconsin, if they lose, looks like a 6 seed. And then... this is in the Big Ten tournament, not the NCAA tournament. 5 seed in the Big Ten tournament if they win and Illinois wins, and a 4, they could get that triple bye if they win and then Illinois loses. But if you take a look at who Illinois faces coming up, well, it's a team that Wisconsin beat by 30-ish points earlier this week in Maryland. It's at College Park, but Buzz Williams not having a good year for the Terps. And so, but yeah, I mean, but that's the way the Big Ten schedule is, and you're going to have your tough games. And I mean, Purdue just came off a win against Northwestern. So we'll see just how it all plays out. But I mean, Wisconsin's got a rough draw where it's at West Lafayette. It's the last game of the regular season. We'll see just what the Boilermakers try to do against the Badgers.
Well, the Badgers are 6-7 away from home, which is concerning, not just for this game, but obviously going into tournament time, just the fact that, you know, pretty much, you know, the vast majority of their wins, their home record is amazing, 15-2. But away from home, if you include the neutral sites, they have a losing record away from home. And, you know, and I know that the neutral court games, the, you know, those were in the non-conference, but in the Big Ten play, just 5-4, and, you know, realistically could be 5-5 after today's game against Purdue. I just, you know, I know that being a 5 or a 6 isn't going to be a huge difference. You're still getting a couple of buys. You don't have to play in those opening rounds. You have a realistic shot, you know, of only having to play an extra game compared to the top four. But, you know, we do like to go back and play that what if game and talk about what if things had gone a little differently. Well, the reality is this is where they're at. And, you know, a better draw happens by winning, and winning solves a lot of issues. I'm just curious, combined with the fact that now they're going on the road the rest of the way. And on top of that, you know, we talked about this last week, I feel like, too. We had another injury scare, got a day-to-day injury with Nolan Winter. Just these things happening here near the end of the season, where do the Badgers kind of put it together? And really, how important is this game with Purdue in the grand scheme of things?
I mean, if somehow they win and Maryland upsets Illinois, then you're talking about something special where it's a triple bye. And you get more rest, right? And then you and whatnot. Really, though, I mean, if they stay like a 6 or a 5 or a 6, it's I'm not exactly sure, but you know, right now you talk about the Nolan Winter injury and just not necessarily knowing like the status is that's gonna be something to watch. And what really stunk about that injury, I mean, obviously the pain and whatnot, but it came on a effort play, man. He came from the top of the key after that 3-point miss by Braden Carrington and, went up, got the offensive rebound, got it, tipped it in, and then you immediately see him go into pain. Like, and that was on an effort play. They're up big. They went up by 29 on that. And that's a rough blow. And Nolan Winter, I mean, team's leading the rebounder, one of the best in the Big Ten this year, has had a really good, solid junior campaign. And you're going to have to see guys like an Austin Rapp, an Alexis Biliauskas, possibly a Will Garlock, the Middleton native, the freshman who's gotten some minutes here and there during his freshman year. But they're going to have to step up and provide the rebounding presence. You know, and Winter, isn't necessarily the most physical presence, but he's been able to grab the boards like that. You need to have someone like Biliauskas who's had the opportunities here and there to do that this season. And he's provided some here and there, but then you also have, Rapp, you've seen him come on defensively. He's going to need more in that end. And then what can Garlock give you anything, or are they going to go more small ball with a smaller rotation, shorter, more guards. Right. And so that's going to be something to watch moving forward. And I don't know how much the Purdue game is going to show you in that regard. But now it's we'll see just what his status is later today and then going into the Big Ten tournament. But obviously a healthy Nolan Winter or an available Nolan Winter can do so much for this team. He's been such a big presence, one of the top three, and they'll need him down the road, if they want to really go far in the NCAA tournament.
Jay Kokorowski of BadgerObserver.com joining us here. I'm looking, just across the board, you know, all the different bracketology experts have the Badgers right around a 6 seed, which is a little higher than what they were kind of going into Big Ten play. Oddly enough, a 6 seed could be what they get in the Big Ten tournament too. And I feel like that's pretty close to the right spot for a team that, you know, has had some big wins, some monster wins this year, being in a game against a 3 seed. I don't think anybody really wants to face a Wisconsin, but, you know, there's obviously that concern too that if the Badgers aren't shooting the ball very well, that things don't typically go well when they aren't hitting those outside shots. Now, they've done that more often than not where they've been able to do that, but it's kind of a boom or bust sometimes, especially once you get the tournament play. Hard to sustain having volume three-point shooting keep you ahead, especially of good teams.
Right, and yeah, I mean, it's, you talk about the volume shots, you know, I thought Wisconsin did a really good job against Maryland and just how they attacked. And they, you know, the shooting came alive, you know, even more in the second half and was dominant there. But yeah, it's going to be the, for Wisconsin, it's really going to be with this going forward. It's a very volatile in my eyes team where, and I say that in the terms of if they, I think they're, the defense can get them through a round one game, you know, a round of 64 game, but they could bow out in the round of 32. Or if they catch fire, I mean, we've seen them beat the Michigans. We've seen them beat the Illinois and the Michigan States. That shit, you know, it could be one and one, two, ones and twos, threes in the NCAA tournament. And so that's going to be the, I mean, the key for Wisconsin. I mean, it's going to be for Wisconsin, it's going to have to be playing that defense. It's going to have to be what they said, the shooting. If you're not shooting well, getting those offensive rebounds, which they've had opportunities and they've done so at times this season, but getting second chance opportunities to try to, you know, and then also doing the inside out game a little bit more. And obviously the winner's injury is going to have to play a role there. So, yeah, it's definitely going to be this team. It's hard to predict just what they could do. Cause if they catch fire, they can beat anybody in this nation, but if they go cold, we'll see what happened, what they did, you know, against Oregon, especially Oregon where the, you know, I forgot how many blocks the Ducks had, but they shut down the interior and Wisconsin shot. I think we talked about it on the broadcast. I think it was last week. I think they had like a program record 44, 45 3-pointers, you know, attempted. And when they're not going in, that just spells trouble.
Well, the Badgers have Purdue. That's coming up later today. If you're listening to the live version of the show, Badgers Purdue on many of these same Civic Media stations. So we'll see what Wisconsin can do in the regular season finale. And then we're off to tournament play next week in the Big Ten tournament and then
crazy,
NCAA
man.
Tournament beyond that. I can't believe we're already here, but hey, it is the first full week of March. So I guess we should expect that. All right, let's switch gears a bit. I want to talk some football and some combine, pro day, things like that. I always enjoy the Wisconsin pro day personally because not just the Badgers, obviously, but all these guys that, you know, especially the Wisconsin natives that have come through the high school ranks that I've seen in some capacity. But they also have a good habit of inviting any of the small school guys too from the state, WIAC guys that might come out and take part in the pro day as well. But I think this was a lot more focused on what the Badgers were able to offer in the pro day. And there were some interesting results this week at the Badgers pro day.
Right. And I mean, yeah, that was, you know, Badger Observer was there for a bit on yesterday. And I mean, it's a lot of guys in there, right? And you saw Vinny Anthony, you know, let's say it was with Wisconsin real quick, you know, didn't really improve too much on his 40-yard dash. He had 4.53. I think it was an official 4.54 in Indianapolis last week. But you guys, you know, you saw some, you know, guys like Austin Brown, who, you know, didn't get a combine invite, have 20. He's a safety, right? 20 reps of 225 on the bench, 43 inch. I was there seeing him with the 43 inch vertical leap, ran a 4.47 in the 40. And so, I mean, he had a really good day. Ben Barton, the big defensive lineman, 33 reps of 225 on, and he had a 32.5 inch vertical for a player that played right around 320, if not higher last year. I think it was right around 320. So that's nuts for that end. But yeah, you talk about, like, you know, a Dane Walter from UW La Crosse, you know, 6'7" kid from in nearby New Glarus, played for UW La Crosse, and you know, a notable name there. And you know, that's, we've seen that throughout the years where Wisconsin's invited some of these D3 players to showcase their talents. It's not just this year that they've had it. They had a German player who I believe was coach. You know, yeah, he played overseas, and he's a German born player. had a combine invite. Was it 2 years or not combine, a Wisconsin Pro Day invite a couple of years back, that, you know, when I was at Badger Extra in the State Journal, we highlighted his journey. And so that's what makes this. And even last year, I talked to Madison Memorial's Jason Cinetti, who, you know, threw the ball and did stuff there, but just an opportunity to showcase your talents against, it looked like the vast majority. I didn't officially count the packet that we received, but a significant chunk at the very least of NFL personnel that were in town. So that's what makes the story. And like, I have a special place in my heart for the Pro Day because, just quite frankly, it was the first event I ever covered for Wisconsin Athletics back in 2013, where we saw Ted Thompson talking to Monte Ball, and everyone's like, oh, they're going to pick Monte Ball. And they went with Eddie Lacy. So you have that, you know, and so that's what makes it kind of special, seeing the gays guys. And for me too, like, obviously being an objective reporter, reporting stuff, you know, but it's also, I've known a lot of these players since they were high school recruits. So you've seen them go through and you've seen them develop. Talking to Austin Brown via, a video link when he was a high school recruit, and now you're seeing him trying out for the NFL. Same thing with Vinny Anthony and others. So in my eyes, you know, it's a special time. I think someone like an Austin Brown helped himself today. We'll see just what happens going forward, where these players could land coming up, come the NFL draft later this spring.
You can find all of the recap and all the information on the Pro Day, on the Combine, on everything Badgers Hoops this weekend. Find it at Badger Observer. Jake does a great job covering everything and getting you everything you need to know. Just make sure you go to badgerobserver.com and hit subscribe, and you can have it sent right to you. You don't even have to go look for it. It'll be sent right to your inbox. Jake, I appreciate all the insights, and looking forward to seeing where the Badgers end up here in the postseason.
My man, it's great talking to you. Have a great weekend. Y'all have a great weekend, too. We'll talk to you next week.
Mike Clemens joins us next here on Make the Call on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Make the Call on Civic Media.
One final time here on Make the Call this morning on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back in Parker and Gray as we wrap up the show today. But we had a lot of topics to talk about today, but I want to give you guys each a chance to offer some final thoughts ahead of the big weekend in sports as we enter the month of March. Let's start with Parker. Parker, what are your final sports thoughts for the week?
Final sports thoughts, Jimmy. I'm going to be going back to my roots. I'm going to Whitewater later today. I'm going to be hanging out with some friends. But more importantly, I'm going to be getting a little closer to that D3 basketball March Madness national tournament starting up today. Yesterday. It was starting up yesterday. We'll get see a little bit of D3 basketball. Really excited to see how all of these WIAC teams do, because there's a really good handful of WIAC teams, both on the men's and women's sides. I'm excited to see a couple of teams that could do some good stuff, I think.
9 women's basketball teams from the state of Wisconsin in the NCAA tournament out of the 64 teams. Just shows you the state of hoops right now in Wisconsin. Obviously a lot on the men's side too, but basketball in Wisconsin doing great things. All right, Gray, how about you?
Man, it sounds like Wisconsin is the state of hoops. What do you mean there, Jimmy? It's right here. Badger State, Derry State, the state of hoops. We need more titles, and we're going to collect them. I'll be honest, guys. I'm thinking about Bob Harlan. I'm thinking about how lucky we were that the Packers have been who the Packers have been. And I know his fingerprints are still visible on the team, even though his hands have been off of it for quite a while now. But my goodness, uncommonly lucky we were. How do you make a sports franchise work in a small town? You get a guy like Bob Harlan, and if you don't have a Bob, well, thank goodness we don't know what it looks like. Me personally, the closest thing I'm doing this weekend with sports, I'll be at a rage room later today. So hopefully I don't have shards of glass embedded in my face this time next week.
Just going to have Parker, he's going to have your face and my face on like a cinder block or something. It's like, oh, these co-hosts, they just frustrate me so much.
Keep calling me up for management.
Oh, man. All right. Well, my sports thoughts are today is the game to play in the state quarterfinals in girls basketball in high school, boys basketball, regional finals, state hockey championships, all 3 of them today, 2 in boys, 1 in girls, and of course, state wrestling happening today as well, team wrestling, that is, in Wisconsin. There's a lot going on in the world of sports. We've talked about some of our favorite things. Mike Clemens gets us the rest of it now for sports here in Wisconsin, here on Make the Call, part of the Civic Media Radio Network. Have a great weekend, everybody.
The Badgers wrap up the season. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball today. The Wisconsin Badgers at Purdue to take on the number 15th ranked Boilermakers. A tip-off time this afternoon at 3 o'clock. The Badgers coming off a big win at home on senior night. Head coach Greg Gard on what a great addition transfer Nick Boyd has been this season at the guard position.
The best ones are extremely competitive and have a burning fire, and he wears his heart on his sleeve. Obviously, he's very emotional and loves playing to the crowd. We've kind of nicknamed him among the staff the entertainer.
UW-Milwaukee's season came to an end this week, the Panthers losing to the Detroit Mercy Tigers in the first round of the Horizon League tournament. Head coach Bart Lundy says the amount of injuries that his squad suffered this season at times has been overwhelming.
It's been one of the tougher years of my career. The wins and losses are important. When we have success, it helps the city, and it lifts all these folks. And I think that's what we take pride in.
In Green Bay, the UWGB Phoenix have made a complete turnaround in year two under head coach Doug Gottlieb. They're in the Horizon League tournament against Northern Kentucky at 2:30 tomorrow after beating Purdue Fort Wayne Tuesday night by 8 points. Coach Doug Gottlieb after the win.
Overall, really good team win, and we look like a good basketball team. Doesn't mean a ton in terms of the world of things. But if we can play like this defensively, we can beat anybody this league.
In college hockey, the Wisconsin Badgers women's team is in the WCHA finals today. They face off at 2 o'clock against Ohio State at the Anderson Arena in St. Paul, Minnesota. The Badgers head coach Mark Johnson about the pressure being ranked number one in the nation.
You know, in hockey, you know, maybe unlike other sports is unique because if I have a goaltender that is really good on a particular day, I might have a chance. And then that separates maybe our sport from maybe some of the other sports. And it's become very much more competitive than it's ever been.
Baseball. The Brewers have several players participating in the World Baseball Classic this weekend. We're keeping an eye on Jackson Chourio, who got hit in the hand while at bat for Venezuela. It appears the team now knows who their first four pitchers will be in rotation. Quinn Priester, he's currently rehabbing a wrist injury. Chad Patrick, Jason Mizorowski, 33-year-old Brandon Woodruff, making yet another comeback, and was asked how he can best help lead the bullpen.
I think just being respectful to the other people, coming in every day, doing the right things as a professional, handling your business, being prepared, just a lot of things that comes along with just having a job.
NBA, after winning 8 out of 10 games, the Bucks now in a real slump. They've lost 4 in a row. Giannis Antetokounmpo came back from that calf injury this week after missing the past month and a half, and right now he's trying to figure out how to fit back in.
Yeah, right now I'm just trying to get back in the rhythm, right? Being able to not play for 6 weeks. And, you know, I feel like the more I'm in shape, the more I have my wind under me, the more I can, like, be able to help my team and not just, like, be a better basketball player, just be more vocal, right? The more you're trying to figure out yourself and your spots and try to figure out how you play with your teammates, the more you kind of cave into yourself and you're not as vocal. You do not control the game as much. And I think right now I'm at that place. I'm trying to figure out myself. You know, I'm trying to figure out how can I fit in into the team, which, you know, a lot of people might say you should not try to fit into the team. You should just go out there and play. But no, it's the reality. I'm trying to figure out how to play with Scoot, Ryan, Cam, Ooze, and all these guys. You know, and maybe this is the first time of my career that they got to help me find my identity, not vice versa.
Doc Rivers asked why the team is in such a slump, even with Giannis back in the game.
The bottom line is, you know, when you look at our numbers, we're fourth best field goal percentage team in the NBA, second three-point, but we're last in shot attempts, you know. And usually the holy grail offensively, or just as a good team, if you're in the top five field goal percentage, you're usually a pretty good basketball team. But we're 25th in defense. And so the numbers just can't match. You almost have to have an amazing shooting night to win a game, which we've had some of those where you remember earlier, I think we had a 61% shooting night or whatever, and we won by 4 points. So the two things is we're dead last in field goal attempts. So how do we get more shots up? Well, we got to stop turning the ball over. We got to try to offensive rebound. We got to create turnovers. How do we score more efficiently, even though we're still, when Giannis plays, we're 11th. But what if we got stops and we're in transition more? And that's our best part of our game. So we just, you know, we do the numbers. We do this every day. Like, you know, every day we're going through all this stuff. And we just not have found the right combination yet. And we're going to keep looking.
That's the Bucks' Doc Rivers. Tonight, they host the Utah Jazz at Fiserv Forum. Game time, 7 o'clock. We'll have coverage for you then. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
The national news cycle never stops. but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.